and others to the Quraysh of Makkah Mukarrama with a proposal. And the proposal was that we should join a coalition and march against Medina Munawwara to wipe out Islam and the Muslims once and for all. The Quraysh of Makkah Mukarrama, when they were delighted, they were very happy, they welcomed them. And in the course of the discussion, they asked him a question. Now the Jews were following a divine religion. Obviously it was expired by that time. However, it was previously a divinely endorsed religion. They had a book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Quraysh of Makkah Mukarramah, who were mushrikeen, who were idolaters, who did not follow any divine religion, they asked the Jews that tell us whose religion is better, our religion or the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We respect the Kaaba, we slaughter camels and we feed people. When the Hujjaj come, when the people come on pilgrimage to Makkah Mukarramah, and we feed them zamzam, we give them water to drink. So we have all these good qualities. Is our religion better, or is the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam better? Now obviously the Jews knew that the religion of Rasulullah was the divinely endorsed religion. However, in order to appease these mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarrama, so that they would get from them what they wanted, for their own personal motives, they say to them, "Dinukum khayrum min dinihi," that your religion is better than his religion, and you are more on the right than him. You are more on the truth than him. It was regarding this that the ayat of the Quran Majid was revealed. Alam tara ila alladhina utu nasiban min al-kitabi yu'minuna bil-jibti wat-taghut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that don't you see those that have been given a portion of the kitab, of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Torah, yu'minuna bil-jibti wat-taghut. They are believing in the idols, and they are saying to those who are disbelievers, who are mushrikeen, they are saying to them that you are more rightly guided than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the lesson from here is compromising the truth for personal motives. This is what they had done. For their own personal motives, they compromised what they believed to be the truth, and they covered up the story in order to appease the mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarramah. When the mushrikeen heard this, they were excited that even the Jews, who are learned people, people who are following a book, they are endorsing our way. And they are saying that our way is correct. Obviously, this was in order to appease them so that they could get them on their side. So the Quraysh of Makkah Mukarramah were prepared. 50 of their young men go and hold on to the ghilaf of the Kaaba. And they take oaths that they will... that they are prepared to fight against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Next, this Jewish delegation now goes to the Ghatafan tribe, which was a big tribe. It was a forceful a tribe that had a lot of strength and power. So they went to them and they told them that the Quraysh are ready to fight against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you should be ready as well. You should get ready as well. And in order to entice them, they say to them that 1 year's crop of the khajur, of the dates of Khaybar, we will give it to you and you should join this army. The Ghatafan tribe also were prepared to join this army against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When these two major tribes had joined forces, then many other smaller Arab tribes who were allies to these tribes, they also were ready. This Jewish delegation went among them as well and got them ready. Until finally, a force of 10,000 now were prepared. This was what was known as the Ahzab, the coalition, the parties that got together against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quraysh themselves, the 4,000 men, 300 horses, 1,500 camels, under the leadership of Abu Sufyan, and the Ghatafan tribe had presented 1,000 men under the leadership of Uyayna bin Hisan. In total, as we explained, there were 10,000 of them, and the leader of the entire coalition was Abu Sufyan. On the side of the Muslims, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received news from the Khuza'a tribe. The Khuza'a tribe was a tribe that was an ally of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they used to live near Makkah Mukarrama, when they received news of this mobilizing of this army, they sent a message to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The messenger traveled very quickly, and within 4 nights, he reached Madinah Munawwara, informing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the plans of the disbelievers. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam consults with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, what should be done? There is this invasion that's going to. What should we do in order to protect Madinah Munawwara? Do we remain within Madinah Munawwara, or do we come out to fight the enemy? Salman Farisi radiallahu an, who was a Persian Sahabi, very advanced in age, he suggested to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the Persians, when they have to face this kind of invasion and onslaught of the enemy, then one of their strategies that they used was that they would dig a huge trench around the city in order to protect themselves from the invading force. Obviously, it wasn't a time of aerial bombing. So in order for the enemy to come in, they will have to cross over the land to come in. And if there is huge trenches between us and the enemy, then they will not be able to come in. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted the suggestion of Salman Farisi radiallahu an. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum also were happy with this suggestion. This was something that the Arabs never used. It was a strategy that they were unaware of. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the first among the war. And on this point we understand that if there is something which is an invention of the disbelievers, but it does not go against the principles of our deen. This is the important point. It does not go against the principles of our deen. Then in order to use it for our betterment, there's nothing wrong in using it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used the strategy of the Persians on this occasion. From three sides, Madinah Munawwara was fortified. So it was only the northern side of Madinah Munawwara which was exposed, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself marked the spot or marked the lines for the digging of the trenches, and he distributed the digging to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He formed groups of 10 Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and approximately 9 to 10 meters of land was given to this one group of 10 Sahaba radiallahu anhum, which they had to dig in a very short space of time, because the enemy was already advancing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, promised them great rewards and help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum began working very, very quickly. They did not have so much of instruments of digging, etc. So they borrowed these instruments from the Banu Qurayza tribe, which was the last tribe of the Jews that was still in Madinah Munawwara and still was keeping with that agreement that they had with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they borrowed spades and pickaxes from them. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum tirelessly worked without exception. Even Sayyiduna Abu Bakr and Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhum worked to such an extent that historians have written that because they did not have enough buckets, enough baskets, etc. to remove the sand, that they would carry the sand in their own garments in order to speed up the process of the work of digging the trench. Salman Farisi radiallahu an, not that he gave the suggestion, now this absolved him from the responsibility of working. Rather, he worked, he was so strong, and he worked so tirelessly and with such vigor that he did the work of 10 Sahaba radiallahu an, he himself would do. He did such sterling work that the Ansar on one hand, they began to say that Salman is part of us. And the Muhajirin said that he is part of us. Because Salman radiallahu an did not belong to the Muhajirin. He did not migrate from Makkah Mukarrama. And he did not belong to the Ansar of Madinah Munawwara. So both began to claim that Salman is part of us. When Rasulullah s.a.w. heard this, Nabi s.a.w. said, Salmanu minna ahlal bayt. Salman is not from the Muhajirin. He's not from the Ansar. He's actually from my household, from the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A great accolade and praise for Salman radiallahu an. The munafiqeen, the hypocrites, They would look for every excuse to stay away from difficult situations. So in this situation as well, they began to make excuses. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, يَتَسَلَّلُونَ مِنْكُمْ لِوَادَى, that very, very secretly and stealthily, they would slip away and they would run away and they would avoid getting involved in this work. On one morning, it was a very cold morning, Sahaba radiallahu anhum were digging, they were hungry, they were tired, they had no servants to assist them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees his Sahaba radiallahu anhum in this difficult situation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, and this was the normal habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to shift the focus to akhirat. That although we are going through this difficulty, it's cold, we are tired, we are hungry, we have to do this difficult work, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allahumma innal aish aishul akhirah. Oh Allah, the real life, the comfort, the real comfort, and the real life is the life of akhirat. Whatever difficulty a person may go through in this world, it's not a big deal. It's not the end of the world. It's something which is temporary. The real comfort, inshallah, which we will gain, is the comfort of akhirat. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes dua, فَغْفِرْ لِلْأَنصَارِ وَالْمُهَاجِرَ. Oh Allah, you forgive the Ansar and forgive the Muhajireen. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, those loyal companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that were prepared to undergo any difficulty for the sake of deen, when they hear these words from the Mubarak lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once again, they reassure Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they say, نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقِينَا أَبَدًا. We are those that have pledged allegiance at the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to strive for deen till the last breath of our life, till the end of our life. So this was the loyalty that Sahaba radiallahu anhu displayed despite the difficult condition. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi himself, as a means of encouragement for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he also had personally involved himself in the digging of the trench to such an extent that Sahaba radiallahu anhu mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi entire body was covered with dust because of him carrying the sitra. And whilst involved in this work, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would repeat the words of Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu an, Allahumma lawla anta mahtadayna, wala tasaddaqna, wala sallayna, faanzilan sakinatan alayna, wa thabbitil aqdama in laqina, innal ula qad baghu alayna, idha aradu fitnatan abayna. Oh Allah, if it is not because of your tawfiq, if it is not because of your ability, then mahtadayna, we would have never come onto hidayat. Coming onto hidayat is only because of your tawfiq. وَلَا تَصَدَّقْنَا وَلَا صَلَّيْنَا. And oh Allah, the sadaqah that we give, the salah that we perform, is all because of your ability and your tawfiq. So, attributing the tawfiq to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really, if the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taken away, then we will not be able to even take the name of Allah once also. This is only the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah gives us the ability to fulfill His commands and to involve ourselves in good a'mal and good deeds. وَلَا تَصَدَّقْنَا وَلَا صَلَّيْنَا فَأَنزِلًا سَكِينَةً عَلَيْنَا. O Allah, You send down Your special tranquility upon us. وَثَبِّتِ الْأَقْدَامَ إِن لَاقِينَا. And if we have to meet the enemy, then O Allah, You keep our feet firm. And then Nabi Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu an mentions in the last line, إِنَّ الْأُولَىٰ قَدْ بَغَوْا عَلَيْنَا, that these people, these disbelievers, they have transgressed against us. إِذَا أَرَادُوا فِتْنَةً أَبَيْنَا, if they want us to leave deen and to get in أَبَيْنَا, we refuse, we blankly and flatly refuse this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite these words whilst involved in this work. Sahaba radiallahu anhum would repeat certain words like نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا, etc. And this was a means of encouragement for them whilst they were doing this work. Whilst digging the trench, then there was a hard rock that surfaced. Sahaba radiallahu anhum tried to break this rock and they were unable to break this rock. So they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with this complaint and with this problem of theirs. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks for a utensil of water. And he places his mubarak saliva, his blessed saliva in this utensil. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he takes this water and pours it over this rock. And within moments, this rock becomes soft sand. In another narration, it is explained that when there was this very hard rock that surfaced while digging the trench, and Rasulullah was informed about it, Rasulullah personally went down into the trench. Nabi took the pickaxe and he struck this rock. When he struck this rock, then one third of the rock broke off, and there was a light that shone. Rasulullah recited takbir. Sahaba radiallahu anhu also recited takbir. And then Nabi sallallahu explained, "U'titu mafatih al Yaman," that I have been given the keys of Yemen. I have been given the keys of Yemen. I see the doors of Sana'a, the capital of Yemen. From my spot now, I can see the doors of Sana'a. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hits it another time. And another third breaks off. And a light shines. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "U'titu mafatih al-Sham," that I have been given the keys of Sham. Now let us understand for a moment. They are in difficulty. They are digging a trench on their own with no servants. In such difficulty they are. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that I have been given the keys of Yemen. I have been given the keys of Sham. These were the superpowers of the time. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that these keys have been given to me. But the iman of Sahaba radiallahu anhu was such that they wholeheartedly believed in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once again struck the rock, and the rock broke. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when that light shone, "U'titu mafatih hafaris," now I have been given the keys of the Persian Empire. The Persian Empire was the superpower of that time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I can see the palaces of Hira, and I can see the palaces of Kisra in front of me. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu was from that land. He knew these palaces. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the apt description of these palaces while standing in that trench. At that time, the munafiqeen began to mock that you are in this kind of situation and he is promising you that you will be given these keys. But Sahaba radiallahu anhu wholeheartedly believed in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some historians mention that it was on this occasion that the ayat of Quran was revealed, "Qul illahumma malik al-mulk tu'til mulka man tasha wa tanzi'ul mulka mimman tasha," that the kingdom belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives kingdom to whomsoever He wishes. Allah takes away from whomsoever He wishes. Sahaba radiallahu anhum wholeheartedly believed in these words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Later on, when these lands would be conquered, then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu used to say, "Go on conquering whatever land you have been conquered." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was already shown that these lands will be conquered. Inshallah, we will continue. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.